Hey, welcome to the First Time Homebuyer Workshop podcast with Julie Marion, episode number 7. Today we are unwrapping the term tenants in the entirety. As I mentioned in episode 6, I'm not a lawyer and anything associated with the drafting of your deed for your specific situation absolutely, hands down, needs to be done by a lawyer you hire. However, lawyers execute what you want done within the framework of the law, so you need to understand what your options are before paying a lawyer $500 an hour. So let's talk about it. Tenants of the entirety. For all you empowered women, you may be a little surprised by this one. And the women listening, I would think, may say, oh, what? If you remember last time, we spoke of joint tenancy, and tenancy of the entirety is similar. The technical definition is tenants of the entirety is a form of joint tenancy, limited to husbands and wives. It's basically joint tenancy with the added feature that the husband has control of the property for as long as the parties are married. What did I just say? Yes, the husband controls the property. Now, what is also interesting is about half of the United States does not allow this type of property ownership. But we're not done yet. Upon the death of the husband or the wife, the property goes to the remaining spouse. So all in all, tenants in the entirety is a form of joint tenancy limited to husbands and wives, where the husband has control of the property for as long as the parties are married, and upon the death of the husband or the wife, the property goes to the remaining spouse. It gets a little interesting here, and times have changed, but let's keep exploring this definition. The major difference between joint tenancy and tenancy in the entirety is that a joint tenant may deed out their interest to, say, a friend or a child or whomever, and that defeats the concept of survivorship, without having the other spouse join in the deed. We talked about this last time in joint tenants, where it might have started to get a little confusing. Also, in tenants of the entirety, the creditors of the husband may attach or put a lien on the property for his debts. However, the creditors of the wife may not attach to the property since she does not have legal interest until the husband dies. Now let's keep an open mind here, because there are some pros of this type of ownership. One we just covered, where the wife's debts can't be attached to the property. In some cases, that could be a benefit. Second, the wife, let's say she is the survivor, can avoid probate, and it protects the homes from any claims against the other tenant. Meaning, when one tenant dies, there's no possibility that that partner will lose the property, and no other heir can evict the surviving spouse. So let's use an example of a second marriage. Say the husband and wife are married, and the husband passes away first, and he wants the second wife to stay in the property without the heir selling the property. I actually have a friend who is in this situation. Her husband was a doctor, he has 7 kids, and she is the second wife. They together, they have no children. Well, his kids from the first marriage want her out of the house, but their father's desires and wants were that she was to be able to stay in the house until she passes away, because in their particular situation, she has no other resources. Moreover, a couple must own equal shares and be in agreement about any decision covering the property. Another feature of tenants in the entirety is that each spouse has a legal right to an equal portion of the property, provided they were married at the time the title was received in both of their names. Finally, this arrangement creates a right of survivorship, so when one spouse dies, their interest in the property is automatically transferred to the surviving spouse. As I mentioned, there are some states that don't allow tenants of the entirety, and there are a few quirks, such as, for example, some states extend tenancy by the entirety to be extended to domestic partners or common law spouses, and it is sometimes restricted only to real estate. 25 states and Washington, D.C. allow tenancy by the entirety. The states that permit this type of ownership are Alaska, Arkansas, Delaware, Florida, Hawaii, Illinois, Indiana, Kentucky, Maryland, Massachusetts, Michigan, Mississippi, Missouri, New Jersey, New York, North Carolina, Ohio, Oklahoma, Oregon, Pennsylvania, Rhode Island, Tennessee, Vermont, Virginia, and Wyoming. The states that don't allow it are Arizona, Alabama, Colorado, Connecticut, California, Kansas, Georgia, Idaho, Iowa, Louisiana, Maine, Michigan, Minnesota, Montana, Nebraska, Nevada, New Mexico, North Dakota, South Carolina, South Dakota, Washington, West Virginia, and Wisconsin. So what state are you in? Is Tennessee of the entirety a possibility for you? Now, if your state allows it, there are some cons. Of course, you know me. I want to give you the pros and the cons. So the cons are, not only is this classification limited to half of our states, it also can be limited to certain types of property. This classification does not protect the property from claims against shared debts, shared credit cards, and shared loans, for example. Another con is that both partners must have equal stakes and be in agreement about any decisions concerning the property. Remember, too, we listed it as a pro? Well, so that gets a little dicey here when there is a con that is also a pro. And the reason is if anyone has had a relationship, whether it be on the school playground, siblings, a parent, etc., in our human life, there can just be disagreements. A final con I have here is that the property must still go through probate after the second spouse dies. Now let's compare a few things. Co-ownership is the theme here. Joint tenants, tenants in the entirety, allows co-owning a piece of property with others. So what happens if the co-owner in tenants in the entirety deeds out their portion of ownership? Well, they can't. Tenants by the entirety may not transfer their ownership interest without their spouse's agreement. As long as two owners remain married, neither owner's interest may be sold, and the property cannot be divided or partitioned, even if one spouse is successfully sued in court. So you can see why it's important to run a title search when buying a house, because you need to know the ownership. So let's give an example here, and we will assume that all parties are in agreement. And that's the key right here, the word agreement, because remember earlier I just said that the husband and wife, they can't deed out a portion of their ownership unless all parties are in an agreement. So let's say that everyone is in agreement. It's very important here. Paul and Mary own 123 Main Street as tenants in the entirety. They are husband and wife. The husband controls the property and deeds out his portion to his son. Mary's in agreement of this, but his son is not Mary's son. Paul's son, Joe, is now effectively owning the property with his father's second wife as joint tenants, but he's in bad health, so he deeds out a portion to his niece, who then owns half the house with Mary, and has the right of, and Mary has the right of survivorship, where when Mary dies as Paul's wife, the niece then will get the house. It can get complicated very quickly. See how these forms of ownership all lead back to the definitions and what can be done? Now there's a huge caveat here. You have to check your state as to what happens when tenants in the entirety deed out a portion of the property. It should be in your state legislature rules and regulations. Recognize those laws can be updated and changed by your state legislature on a regular basis. Finally, when you buy a house, let's say the property you are buying is held in tenants in the entirety or even tenants in common. This is what the title search is for, and you do want this done because you want to make sure that the property that is transferred to you is with a clean slate, so to speak. You want to make sure that the owners that are selling you the property actually have the authority to do so. So you may be saying, okay, Julie, yeah, this is great, but why do I need to know this? Well, the reason is mistakes can be made, and 99.9% of the time, I'll say that again, 99.9% of the time, you never even know this is going on. You're never informed because it's part of the closing costs where that professional entity doesn't tell you, and that means that you really don't know what your risks are. And procedurally, you are encouraged to buy title insurance, which is expensive, and not just one policy, but two, one for the bank and one for you, which is usually, in this day and age, around $3,000 in closing costs. So if you are buying the house with an ownership that is straightforward, the question becomes, Do I need that expense? And we will talk about that when we define title insurance. So come back to this podcast. We have covered a lot here, and we are building on these layers. Most people, if they're buying a house, are either going to choose joint tenants with a right of survivorship or tenants in common. And those classifications are widely recognized throughout the United States. But tenants of the entirety is an option for you if you are a husband and wife. So I think it's important that you know what your options are. So there you have it. That's this 15 minutes of home buying knowledge, just another acorn to put in your home buying jar. In our next podcast, we're going to be talking about tenants in common, how it is applied, the pros and cons, and we will compare that ownership with the previous two categories. If you are new here, you can go to our website, thefirsttimehomebuyerworkshop.com, and sign up for a weekly email where we will email you with the link to this podcast. For those of you who are close to starting your home buying journey and want to kickstart the process, you will see our free class entitled Home Buying Chaos Unwrapped. This class explains who does what and why, so as you walk into an open house, fill out a form or call a banker, you are in charge. You have been promoted to CEO of your home buying journey. It's pretty scary if you don't know exactly what you're doing. I think of CEOs as being super knowledgeable, lots of experiences, and a few life experiences under their belt. Not someone who's doing something for the first time, but hey, that's me. So you can check that out. It's free, as is this podcast. I can't wait to empower you. Until next time, from the team at the First Time Home Buyer Workshop with Julie Marion, bye for now.